This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This hour is sponsored by Sloan, the leader in smart water and commercial restroom solutions.
Bernstein and Harris.
Make it sexy.
The Dodgers are on a tier by themselves in Major League Baseball.
They're the billionaires, not the upper middle class.
Right.
They're not even the wealthy. They're the billionaires. So I think that's how I kind of look at it.
The Cubs are living in a nice gated community. Meanwhile, the Dodgers have their own island.
Yeah, there's definitely guards. There's probably a moat somewhere with the island. It's definitely a castle.
I like the idea of a moat.
I sentence you to a lifetime of horror on Monster Island. Don't worry, it's just a name.
He said it was just a name!
What he meant is that Monster Island is actually a peninsula.
There's alligators and crocodiles in the moat.
Can they coexist?
I don't know. I actually think they're in two different ecosystems, but just go with me on this.
Okay, I'll ride.
Point being,
she's rolling, just let her go.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
You still got to meet them and see who you are against them, and that's valuable information.
The Suns now, by the way, they're in the play-in because
Woo-hoo-hoo!
They have surpassed the Dallas, we don't know how to keep people healthy, Mavericks.
It will not stop.
Are you bitter?
Southwest Airlines trolled them on their Instagram. When they posted their new bag fees, they said it's not like we traded Luca.
That's hilarious.
That's a lane. That's a lane to pick.
No, what the... You must promise not to fall in love with me.
Now Martin's scoring off me. Oh, that is it.
Here's what nobody's talking about.
The Bernstein and Harris Show. Middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yes, we have made it. It is Friday. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Bernstein and Harris with Layla Rahimi in. And you know what? It's been a good week. Behind the glass, we've got Ray Diaz. We've got Adam Staszynski also working. Brandon Fryer on that Twitch whole thing. It's Matt and I, Connor O'Donnell, and one gentleman, Duddleston.
Bears.
We are putting it together for you here. We got plenty to get into, especially for those of you who did or did not stay up late to watch the Chicago Bulls and the Kings, or maybe the Blackhawks and the Kings. It was Kings, a pair of Kings last night as far as your viewing pleasure for your local professional sports teams. And we got a lot to get to because we're not just talking Bulls. We've got the meatball machine coming your way in just a bit.
And I know that's something that we all can get behind. That's coming up your way at 11 o'clock. You're going to want to hear what Joe Cowley had to say about the Bulls. Also, mock draft season has begun. At noon, we'll deal with that. But before that, it's Joe Ostrowski at 11:25 to get us figuring out what's good and what's not with this weekend's games. Alex Cohen, who congratulations to Alex, now officially part of the marquee team as far as the Cubs broadcast go and announcing games as a full-time job. I've known him forever and ever and ever. Robert Griffin III had some things to say. I have some things to say back to Robert Griffin III because he's pretty ignorant, to be honest. And Jeremy Warner will talk Illini as they get ready for their matchup with Xavier later on tonight up in Milwaukee. But let's start with these Bulls, right? Because, hey, the Bulls are climbing up the standings, or at least trying to make a climb away from what would be a lottery pick. And last night, we saw a reunion of sorts. For the first time, they saw Zach LaVine as a Sacramento King, who has joined forces with another Bull, so I call them Bulls West, and DeMar DeRozan, who was already on the Kings. And the Kings have been doing pretty well, over 500 since firing Mike Brown and making assistant coach Doug Christie their new head coach. And it was a big test because it was on the road. It's part of this five-game road trip, which I told you all, if they come back with a winning record on this road trip, yeah, they're probably going to make the playoffs. So that's what we have right now. And the Bulls, they went off. Kobe White went off. And it had me asking myself, Kobe White is the blank best player on the Bulls right now. And I don't know that I have an answer, Layla. I thought he's the third best player on the Bulls, but he might be the second. And you could argue he's the first best player on the Bulls.
Who's your first best if not Kobe?
If not Kobe, I'd say it's Vooch.
Yeah, Vooch was having, at least before the All-Star break, arguably an All-Star season.
Yeah, and then he's slumped a little bit.
So, yeah, I think at this point Kobe might have come into the one seed there.
But Josh Giddey, I think, without him, the fact that they were able to win that game. Now, to be honest, or to be clear, the Kings didn't have Domantas Sabonis. And
right.
He is a monster. He is an absolute monster. And so they didn't have him. The Bulls, though, didn't have Josh Giddey, who came off the bench last game, but still played over 30 minutes, but was held out of this game. We'll see if he plays in the last game of this when they take on the Lakers on Saturday. But I just... Kobe White is good when he's good. He's really, really good. And he took over this game in the second half.
He did. The Bulls shot really well.
Yes.
And I talked to Dan last week about how some of their half-court sets just didn't have enough movement. You didn't see, it was everybody passing on the perimeter all looking at each other, but that was not the case in this particular game. Like, they were using their mismatch as well. You saw a lot of cutting to the basket. Now, they've had games where they really utilize the lane and that downhill style of play. But I feel like in this case, it was running again, finding your open man, knowing who to kick out to, who has the hot hand, and being more efficient in doing so. They just look quicker in the possessions and in the clock. And I don't know if that was particularly the matchup with the Kings. They were playing, obviously, a man down, one of the most important men they have. But you just saw a lot more movement. You saw a lot more passing. There were times where there were some defensive mistakes. But again, Bulls were down, and what happens? You know, they dare everybody to run with them and then pull away in these later moments and are able to do so. That was something Billy Donovan talked about earlier in the week. I think it was after the Jazz game when he said, that's their plan. Make them run with you and see who's left standing. And it's been working.
Both of these teams playing the second of a back-to-back. I think it's interesting because you talk about the movement, right? You know what helps movement? When guys are making shots. And Kevin Huerter, he said after the game, talking to Casey Johnson on the broadcast on Chicago Sports Network, he said, yes, this was a revenge game because they traded him and he had a really, really bad season, had been moved further and further down the bench as far as the depth chart goes. But he comes up with 25 points on 10 of 16 shooting, nails 5 of his 9 three-point attempts, and just looks amazing. And he's out here curling and moving without the basketball, getting to open spots. And then Vooch was just facilitating. 24, 14, and 8 assists, right? So when he's doing that, when he's got, let's say, 6 or more assists, and he's shooting over 50%, and he's knocking down, we'll say, 35% of his threes, he's a problem. And really, they outscored the Kings. It's not like they out-defended the Kings. They just outscored the Kings.
There were definitely some defensive miscues. There were definitely some issues on closeouts, on help defense. That was for sure. But one of the things that really stood out to me is you always want to see players on other teams and see how they flourish. Larry Markkanen, again, a good example. It took him leaving the Bulls in order to be his best self. But when it came to what we saw out of the Kings last night, Zach LaVine only had 8 points because he's not the primary scorer for them. Like, that's it. He's not their main scoring option. We talked about Malik Monk yesterday. And for all the accusations that Zach LaVine has gotten, and I felt like I at times sounded like I was making excuses, but it was really observations, especially if you're watching from a courtside level and you're watching off ball. That isn't what he does. And he got in where he fit in. He let Malik Monk cook for them. He was a teammate. That's a better fit when it comes to him understanding his role. And DeMar DeRozan once again shows you why he was so beloved on this team, just the leadership aspect and how that fit made sense. But that wasn't a guy trying to play hero ball for his team last night. And that was oftentimes the accusation we would hear here.
I want to give you his stats through the first three quarters of the game, right? So through the first three quarters, Zach LaVine, the guy that you know is a two-time All-Star who can score at will when called upon, he was 0 for 4 through 21 minutes and 48 seconds, 0 for 3 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line, a rebound, 4 assists, a steal, and a couple of turnovers. And he was plus 1 on the plus minus, so he wasn't, you know, hurting or harming through three quarters. But he deferred because Malik Monk came out on fire, and he was like, oh, we'll get it to the hot hand. So you see Malik Monk come out in this game and in the first quarter just go off to the tune of 15 first quarter points on 5 of 7 shooting from 3. Zach LaVine was 0 for 3 in the first quarter, right? So that means between the second and third quarter, he took one shot.
Right.
And he's like, oh, this guy's the hot hand. And the other thing you have to remember is the Kings had a double-digit lead for much of that time. So it's like, this is what's working tonight. I will take a back seat. Now, when the Bulls made it interesting, he took a couple of shots. He was 2 of 5 in the fourth quarter and knocked down a 3. But he did take a step back and had no problem doing so.
Kings were up by as much as 19 in this game.
That's wild.
It really is the truth that Kobe and the Bulls, but it really is the truth that a 20-point lead is not safe against the Bulls. Like, it's just nothing in the NBA anymore. You can come back from 20 like it's nobody's business. I really want to get into what we heard before the game from both DeMar and Zach LaVine. Credit to CHSN, they would play some of the interviews during the game because they had Blackhawks on, so they didn't do their typical Bulls pregame show. But I would like to listen to what Zach LaVine said about him, at least how he felt about being here in Chicago.
You know, I put that jersey on with a lot of pride. You know, I love Chicago, always will. You know, I appreciate, you know, the fan and the support, you know, what I was able to do there, but also just understanding that, you know, if you go out there and try your best and it don't work sometimes, it's, you know, it's frustrating both on the organization and as a player, but, you know, I wore it with a heart on my sleeve, so, you know, I can't get mad at that.
You were always you were in so many rumors over the years. What, were you surprised it finally happened, and what was your reaction when it did happen?
I was taking my son on a walk because my wife just gave birth, so I was taking my son on a walk, and, you know, they gave me the call. But, you know, it was fine. I understand the business. I've been traded before. I had a really good relationship with the organization for a long time. I talked to Michael and Jerry, so AK, Mark, I talked to everybody, gave Billy a call. So it wasn't, there's no bad blood. You know, we had a really good, you know, tenure, and, you know, business is business. And, you know, you just remember the memories and the relationships. That's what sticks with you more than anything.
Zach, do you stay in touch with the Bulls players?
Yeah. I was in the group chat for the longest. I told them, don't delete me from the group chat. I want to talk a little mess to you guys. So, and then today, actually, I walked down into their meeting room.
Hotel, right?
Yeah, I walked through their walkthrough a little bit. You know, act like y'all ain't known me before, so.
Wow. So Zach's still in touch, and it's not just him, by the way. DeMar DeRozan still messaging his. He apparently raided the group chat and said, "Talking smack. They're talking smack. That's what athletes do. They talk smack."
Well, of course, that's the whole point, isn't it?
Well, the point is to win, and DeMar...
No, but when you're having fun in the group chat...
Yes.
You're going to bust it. You're not going to be like, I really hope you have a lovely time in our city of Sacramento.
No, we're not doing formalities.
Y'all got it at 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's a back-to-back. Let's just remind people of that. They played the night before in Phoenix. And certainly, hearing Zach talk about it, I like the fact that he understands it is what it is. There is no bad blood, because we've seen so many NBA trades where there is bad blood after the trades, after the separation of stars from their teams.
Bulls' but that's next not the opponent.
Case. Who's that? The Lakers?
Yeah.
Yes, I had to remember. Yes, the Lakers, they got bad blood because, well, they're always making trades. How about that? Lonzo Ball can tell you all about that. Brandon Ingram can tell you all about that. They're always making trades. Luka Doncic.
Or somebody Anthony who Davis. Thinks he's going to get traded, and it takes forever to actually trade him.
Dalton Connect. Thought he was traded. Did not get traded.
DeMarcus Russell.
That too. So there's all the things that you can talk about. And understand that when the Bulls had DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball and Nikola Vucevic, they didn't meet their expectations. Part of that is due to injury. Part of that is an unwillingness from Arturis Karnišovas to pivot well after losing Lonzo Ball and finding another way of doing things. So you take all that into effect and you understand this was the 9 seed from the West playing the 9 seed from the East. And as of right now, the 9 seed from the East proved to be better on the 9 seed from the West home court. And it's like DeMar and Zach, despite moving on, seem to be in the exact same spot they were in when they were on the Bulls. They have a better record, a winning record, but they're in a more difficult conference. So the pecking order has stayed the same for them. And I felt bad for them for that matter, especially with Sabonis leaving with injury, and we don't know how long he's out, but also De'Aaron Fox demanding a trade, and them simply not doing enough. And I wonder where this will leave DeMar DeRozan, who, by the way, congratulations, scoring his 25,000th point of his NBA career. And also Zach LaVine, who feels like, at this point in his career, is never going to really meet his ceiling as far as team success that he probably is striving for in the role that he has on a given team. And that could change because, you know,
he can get traded again.
He can get traded again. Acquisition of just the right player could help. But right now, the Kings are just as much middling as the Bulls are, and that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, the only issue for the Kings is their definition of their middling is different because they're in the Western Conference. That's it. Like, the teams are better, the records are better, and that's what's happening. I appreciate, though, what we did hear from Zach and from DeMar DeRozan. And I actually thought that there was a lot of myth-busting going on in the pregame yesterday, when not only did you see what Zach LaVine did to elevate Malik Monk, but then you also saw DeMar DeRozan talk about playing with Zach LaVine again, because there was some question about that happening. And he actually was very candid about it before the game.
Yeah, I think he called me. He was in Minnesota. I think he called me. Called me like 2 or 3 times. I was taking a nap. I called him back. He didn't answer it. And I called him again. And he was just asking me questions. I was like, man, it's a possibility it happened. And he was like, yeah. What you think? I was like, because I think he was torn in between waving his, he had a clause, signing bonus, something. It was something.
Trade bonus.
Yeah, trade bonus or something. And I was like, you know, let's make it happen. You know, and I swear by the time we got off the phone, I felt like it, you know, it was announced that he was coming. So, you know, to barely be away from him, you know, it was kind of crazy. It was something, you know, I didn't expect it to happen. But, you know, it was cool to see it happen.
So there you have guys who obviously like each other, whether we're talking about on or off the court.
Willingly discussed it. Like, willingly talked about it, reached out to each other. You don't do that to somebody who you don't like. You address it later when you have to, not beforehand like that. I thought that that was good. And we just have known DeMar long enough to where when he's saying those things, you can tell whether or not it's genuine. So I appreciated all of that discussion because it really puts a bow on so many storylines that at the time were major, you know, and then you find out what's happening. It's always talk to the guy who's not at the workplace anymore, right? And that's the way it is when it comes to Zach Levine and DeMar. They're a lot more willing to talk to you about that place once they're no longer there.
I think for me, understanding that that dynamic was what it was, it's kind of sad that it never came to fruition here as far as playoff success. They went to exactly one playoff series. They won exactly one playoff game together in Chicago. And again, part of that is injury, but the front office didn't do enough to get them the pieces to go back and make another hard charge. Because right now, all we have is a first half Eastern Conference title to celebrate Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, their time together as Bulls.
When they were healthy, Zach LaVine had to be the primary scoring option. They found ways around that when he wasn't healthy. But you see last night on that team how things can be different. And that gives you an indication of what a fit can be.
The question is, do DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine fit, right? That's been a question we've asked 1,000 times on these.
But the Bulls fit, he had to be the guy. And on the Kings, he doesn't have to be.
You say he doesn't have to be, but I don't know if he doesn't have to be equals we're going to get where we need to go.
They've got enough talent. Like, that's just my opinion on it.
I wonder if the Kings are going to make the playoffs. It's a real thing. I think they're helped by the fact that Dallas is obviously falling straight down. Yeah. An anchor, an albatross, if you will.
Once you get into the West, the play-in actually, I do think, indicates there how open it is once you do get in. Now, the top three, that's a different story. Like, trying to take down Oklahoma City is a different discussion, but I would say 3 through 10, it's a fun game to play.
It's a fun game to play. Remind you to listen for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys perform live at Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island on Wednesday, September 3rd, featuring special guest Gary Clark Jr. Tickets now available at livenation.com. Again, you'll get a chance to win a pair of tickets to see that performance coming up later in the show. When we come back, we've got more Bulls talk before we dive into the name on my chest, Mississippi State, Baylor. That's coming up. But yeah, they'll probably lose. I know. But we'll talk college basketball in just a moment. But first, Joe Cali had some things that you need to hear, because this beat writer was saying some things about your Chicago Bulls.
Even for Joe Cali. You already know Joe Cali's going to bring it, but he brought out his heavy artillery. That's next on The Score.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
Ben Schwartz, our new friend.
I am blown away that this is happening. That was such a great question.
Middays 10 till 2.
Only a Chicago sports radio show. I'm so thrilled. Well, that was a very nice.
We're a well-rounded crew around here.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, this is Give Me a Hot Sauce Teletrade. Now, we're going to keep an eye right there on Trey Lyles. He's hot right now, so go ahead and roll it. Here's the screen. Freeze it. Now, right now, they should interchange. Trey should come there, and Patrick Williams should move up a little bit so he can rotate up. Go ahead and roll it. As this screen happens, freeze it. Patrick Williams is not watching. He should be already on a horse. He should be coming up here and taking this guy, and then Zach should be going back defensively. Go ahead and roll it. He doesn't see it, and then bang, wide open. That is a wide open jumper to a very good three-point shooter. You've got to be locked in defensively and understand what rotations are.
I heard Stacey King say that last night during the Kings game.
He was talking about Modest Bozelis, right? That's who he was talking about right there? It wasn't a rookie he was talking about? Who was he talking about?
Oh, he was talking about a second contract, Patrick Williams.
Oh, the guy who's not a rookie and has already been paid handsomely and with an extension. Paying him $18 million per, that guy?
Yeah, and we're not here to pick on people individually, but when you consider how many years he has in the league, doesn't that seem like a basic defensive principle there?
Fifth-year player?
When you saw the amount of when you saw the amount of space that he's talking about on that closeout, where there's nothing around him and the person he should be defending is just straight ahead, and you know that they're going to shoot the threes. It's that part of it for me where it's the like you got to double check sometimes. And at that point in your career, I think you've got to be a little more confident, and not just a little. I've always said players can't control where they're drafted, but the Bulls did decide that they wanted to pay him and he didn't test the market. Yeah, fourth-year player for Patrick Williams, right?
No, I was saying four-year contract.
Oh, yeah, the four-year contract. He was drafted in 20, right? So, yeah, that was the COVID years run together for me. But we all know what we're saying here. This is a multi-year veteran. Picked fourth overall, as we all know. And he didn't control where he got picked. But at the same time, he still is one of the first picks of this regime. The first pick. So you consider all of that, and you find a way to try to make this work. And every time they get a new combination of players, you know, whether we see the Kevin Huerter game last night, we see what Trey Jones was doing, which I thought was what he's put together so far in this season with the opportunities he's been given is really impressive. But we're still trying to figure out how Patrick Williams fits into all of this. Joe Calley was on the afternoon show yesterday on Spiegel. Or I shouldn't say Spiegel and Holmes. Well, yeah, it's Spiegel and Holmes.
Yeah, what were we going to say?
You know what I was thinking of? There were two versions of the show. There was Parkins and Spiegel and Parkins. And those were two totally different shows.
Oh, okay.
Different time slot, and there were two very different shows.
Very different shows.
I didn't know there was a Spiegel and Parkins.
Yes, at one point.
When Parkins first joined the station, it was Middays with Spiegel and Parkins.
Oh.
Yes.
I learned something new every day.
But a very different show from Parkins and Spiegel.
Okay.
Very different.
It wasn't that different.
No, it was actually the same. Point being, Spiegel and Holmes had Joe Calley on. He let it rip.
The name you brought up that I'm just done with, Patrick Williams.
Yeah, man, tell
us. I'm just kind of done with him. There was a point yesterday, the Modest dunk, where he dunks, he gets fouled, thrown to a cameraman, he's laying down. The whole bench is standing up, clapping, going crazy, all except 44, just sitting there. Coaches are up clapping. His teammates are up clapping, kind of walking on the floor to make sure and you got one guy who's just sitting there. I'm just kind of done. I'm done with him.
Wow.
He needs that. He needs to hit rock bottom now. And unfortunately, they gave him a contract where I think he has lost his love for basketball, and he's would probably dispute that. But I just see a guy that happens to be built like that, happens to have a skill set, and happens to got paid, and just doesn't give a damn anymore. And so, I kind of saw that the last year with Adam Dunn, where it was just a guy that would rather be in a deer stand, but he just happened to be able to hit 500-foot home runs, so hell, why don't he do that a couple times a week? And that's kind of how Patrick Williams is kind of rubbing me right now, where you've gone through different coaches now. They've had to find different coaches because mentally you don't like this coach and you're not that good, dude. They should give you a ball boy until you figure it out. So I'm just kind of over him. I'm kind of done with the excuses. And it was a bad draft pick, made even worse because Arturas couldn't admit he was wrong and opened up the checkbook and gave it to him. And now he's giving it to the Bulls.
Wow. I mean, where does it rank among Arturas mistakes to not realize this and cut bait via trade or simply not sign as opposed to empowering and doing what he just did? That's got to be very high on the list of mistakes then.
It's the biggest mistake he's made because he compounded it. He wouldn't admit that the guy doesn't have it. He wouldn't admit that he took a sixth man from Florida State who couldn't even start because of the body and the build and just didn't look at the man. And now we're stuck with a NBA player that's built like a guy that should be 2010, but he still wants to play like a child. And and then he paid him on top of it. He paid him. He didn't even let the market set the price. He paid him because Arturas had to show he's smarter than everybody else.
Woo! That is scathing. I don't know what the worst part was, whether it was get him a ball boy and tell him to figure it out, or when he said built like he's built, but plays like a child.
Yeah, built for 20 and 10.
That is, woo!
I think the worst part is comping to White Sox Adam Dunn. Like, I mean, that is awesome and hilarious and just scathing.
Yeah, Joe Colley couldn't even think of a basketball player to fit a similar profile of disappointment.
I think he knows the audience, so he wanted to give the Chicago audience someone that they distinctly remember, and Adam Dunn is, yeah, he's
Cal,
a guy. And,
well, Cal used to cover the White Sox.
Yeah, that's true.
It was during that time. But it's the same concept when it comes to the body and the power that Adam Dunn had versus what the production was. It was a questionable contract when it came out. And when you consider what was going to happen this year, I think more had to happen for that to be justified. And unfortunately, it has turned out the way it has, even with a new group of players post-trade deadline. I ask all the time, what is the Bulls' plan? I want to know what their plan is for him as well.
I think Arturas Karnišovas, I'm not speaking for him, but if I had to guess, I would say the plan for Patrick Williams is for him to be one of the 9 to 10 guys he talks about when they're good in a championship contender. I don't see it myself. And also, Joe Calley and I are completely aligned in saying that Patrick Williams, the extension, is the biggest mistake that Arturas Karnišovas has made. And also, that is the basis I use for saying don't make the same mistake twice when referring to one Josh Giddey. And I'm not saying Josh Giddey shouldn't be retained. I'm not saying you shouldn't pay him, but at least go see what the open market. Don't think you're outsmarting everyone by paying him, I don't know, $30 million a year. Let's go see if he can make $30 million a year.
Oh, we're up to 30 now? So the original...
That's what he wanted.
The original estimation on Giddey a week and a half ago was 22 to 24. Well, then we were at 25.
I'm talking specifically about what the reports were that he wanted when he was a member of the OKC coming off of last season. That's the extension he was looking for, $30 million a year. And if you look around and see what starting point guards are making, I mean, let's just use the Bulls as an example. Giving Patrick Williams an $18 million per year contract Giddey is worth more than Patrick Williams. We can all agree on that.
Yeah, it's also a positional issue, though. Like, when you have Vooch at the five, you need your four to, for example...
But they ain't going to have Vooch at the five.
Not be talked about like Stacey did defensively.
They ain't going to have Vooch at the five, though. He's gone. He's moved in the offseason.
The way the Bulls trade players, I will believe it when I see it.
Because the way the last trade deadline went and Vooch still hanging out.
And that was the first trade deadline in four where they had done something since Vooch.
Yeah, kind of disappointing in that manner. But I'll say this. Patrick Williams may still have a future, but I can't really argue with Joe's assessment of Patrick Williams in terms of watching him play basketball. I'm not saying he's necessarily playing out the string, but it is few and far between where I see him doing something that make me go, ooh, did you see that right there from Patrick Williams? How many moments has he given us that you can hang your hat on and be like, that's that dude that they picked with a top five pick and gave all that cash to on an extension?
Yeah, he had one last night, actually. He had an aggressive possession down the lane, and it was nice to see. But I don't want to be talking about just one. How many times are we talking about shots Coby White makes that are quintessential to his game? Often, there are multiple in a game you can refer to.
I go back to a question, because we never answer the question. Coby White is the blank best player on the Bulls? Did you come up with an answer?
I guess Vooch is still number one, given the resume.
But I don't care about resume. If you take him off the team right now, and you say, Coby, go, or take Coby off the team and say, Vooch, go, are the Bulls... Do they have a better chance of winning a game any given night with Vooch or with Coby?
Coby.
And not the other.
Because he can change a game.
Yeah, so that's why. And Giddey, I guess he's in that same category, and I don't know where he is in the order, if you will, when you're counting down best players on the Bulls. All I know is if you say Patrick Williams out loud, he's down there. He's not in the top three.
I hate having to talk about somebody like this.
No, I mean, look, but I want better for Patrick Williams, though.
They've put so much faith in him, and they fell in love with their guy, and that is not unique to any regime. It happens all the time. But to then not let the market dictate the price and the value of that individual in the NBA is saying something.
Back to Coby for a moment, because DeMar DeRozan, obviously former teammates with Coby, he's seen him grow up as a young basketball phenom. He's a guy who's making less money than Patrick Williams, but is playing a whole lot better, and he's going to get paid eventually. Here's what DeMar DeRozan had to say about Coby White, because he had high praise about the hot streak that he's currently on.
I love it. I mean, it's exciting to see. You know, I always tease him. You know, I told him the other day, congrats on the player. It was a player of the week, right?
Player of the week, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just rooting for him. You know, rooting for all those guys. You know, honestly, I watch every single game when we don't play. You know, even if we play in the same time, I check the box score, see how guys do. Obviously, I still talk to my sons every day, make sure they making their bed and everything. So, you know, it's great to see just Coby, you know, thrive in a way that, you know, I know he will be, you know, working out with him every summer. You know, seeing how much he loved the game, how much he put into it, you know, it's dope to see.
All right, let's talk about Coby in the month of March, okay?
You know what else DeMar said that's worth... You know what else DeMar said that's worth bringing up?
The son part?
He did call him his youngins. Like he was doing that already.
Like a father with a brood, and oh, I'm checking in on, you know, I've been off at work, but I'm going to return home and see how my youngins are developing.
Yeah, he always called Dalen Terry and Coby White his stepsons or something. But I always heard his youngins too. But then what he said for Dalen, the quote, I can't believe I'm saying this. He said, and this is the quote from the post game reporting, "My baby boy always answers. He knows how to pick up the phone when daddy calls." Hilarious.
It's funny because you say that, but at the same time, DeMar, at the end of the game, it seemed like that moment that every son has where their son surpasses them, because the Bulls are faring better without DeMar DeRozan in the lineup. And they're, especially since the trade deadline, they're winning.
DeMar wanted all those players to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Coby in March, though? Is he on one and we just haven't noticed as much because he's just been doing his thing?
He's averaging 28.4 points per game in the month of March. And as he said, he's the reigning Eastern Conference Player of the Week. All right, we got to talk about this basketball tournament before it resumes today, day 4-3-4-4. Day four of the NCAA tournament. And we want to remind you, as the tournament action heats up, college hoops coverage on The Score brought to you by Bet365. We're going to talk about the upsets, my Bulldogs, and probably how they're going to lose to Baylor and not even get a chance to face Duke, who may or may not have Cooper Flagg. It's the NCAA tournament. And Amir Khan, when we come back with more Bernstein and Harris with Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Chicago, are you ready?
Quit yelling.
The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Another chapter.
And a steal, the 13th of the game. That puts a capper on it. Jackson will just dribble it out. And the Valley will run deep for at least one more game.
Wiggins will pop a three. It's good. One out of two. Hunter. Zachary. He'll put up a three. No good. Rebound. A scramble. Hunter has it. Hunter at the buzzer. It's good. But Cowboy up. McNeese.
Yeah. That was True TV, by the way. We didn't have a lot of upsets, but I felt like the ones we had were quality upsets. Drake, you guys remember yesterday I had my Drake shirt on. The only Drake I know about winning of late is that Drake, because the other Drake ain't winning.
He hopes to win a lawsuit.
Also, McNeese, it's such a
stupid
terrible
lawsuit.
Like,
it's just burning money.
Isn't that getting tossed out?
It's an L. It's an L of a lawsuit. Like, you can't spell lawsuit without L in his case, because
he had a better song than you. Get over
it. And now Kendrick might be at the Olympics. Like, oh.
Yeah. It's bad.
Nobody's having a worse year.
No one's. But this is proof that money ain't everything, because he's still making a whole lot of money.
He's been on the other side of this, the Meek Mill mess.
Yeah, the Meek Mill.
Everybody forgets about that.
Yeah, when he went back to back on Meek Mill, I was in Philly and I was like, ooh, this is oof.
They giveth, they taketh away.
Yeah, he ran up on somebody that was ready.
Yeah, Drake, 10-point winners over Missouri. Man, your SEC just really showing.
Is that what we're doing?
Why they got 13 at-large bids.
Drake is good, though. That's a 6-11 upset is acceptable. After 6-11 is where it becomes unacceptable. So if you're a 12 losing to a 5, that's bad.
9 seed Georgia loses handily to Gonzaga. But Gonzaga was the 8th seed.
I think Gonzaga's better than Georgia. That's fine. Georgia deserved to go, though, because they did the work. They played difficult teams. They got a lot of quad one wins.
UCLA looked good yesterday.
Okay, yeah. Big Ten, stand up.
I mean, the most entertaining game to me was Arkansas and Kansas.
Oh, that was wild. When they put that zone defense out there, and my man had PTSD, Calipari, he's like, other people know how to stop this with the zone defense. It's not just like a SEC thing. Yeah, it was interesting. But
And it was a good game at the half. You know, here we are talking about all these clunkers at the half, and at least they were in the 40s. For a college score at the half, that's pretty good.
Do you like that? Because I think I heard earlier the over-under is like 160 for, I want to say Xavier, Illinois.
Oh, I thought it was St. John's and...
No.
The over-under's up there for St. John's and Arkansas, isn't it?
But 160?
The Cal-Patino matchup?
Cal-Patino. It's the third time they've seen each other in the tournament, I believe.
You'd think it'd be more.
So here's what I want to say. Amir Khan, we talked about, if you listened on High Noon yesterday, and we set that man up. Listen, the man's nickname is Aura, and the team fed off of that nickname, and they did the doggone thing.
His team, McNeese State.
Yes, McNeese State. He's the student manager with 3 NIL deals. And he'll probably have more after this weekend if they can find a way to get to the Sweet 16.
I told you, you didn't have to be Persian to win on Persian New Year, even though his name is Amir. Pretty common. However, winning NIL deals and your team having the major upset of the day and you don't even play ball, that's winning.
And I was thinking about it yesterday. The companies that signed him to the NIL deal are like, what? That's such a drop in the bucket for them to get all this pub now that they're getting. When you talk about Tick Pick, Buffalo Wild Wings, and Insomnia Cookies. Like that, and so more should jump on anyway. McNeese State looks good. Will Wade, I don't care that you told people you were leaving for NC State. That's fine. I know some of my coworkers feel strongly that was unprofessional, but I think it's the wild, wild west for everybody, not just the players, but for the coaches too. And I don't think anything was crazy. Did you? You didn't really have an opinion on that, did you, Layla?
I see it differently because the Southland Conference knows it's a stepping stool for other schools.
Absolutely.
You know what else? Other schools and other conferences much closer to us, like the Missouri Valley, for example, they know that their coaches are going to go. The University of Houston knew that on football, they were going to lose Tom Herman. It was just a matter of time he goes to Texas. There are certain schools where you just know that's going to happen. I went to North Texas, same thing. Grant McCaslin goes to Texas Tech. This is just a normal process.
Mississippi State, same difference.
What I don't like is when it's disingenuous. When you do have, for example, say the, and I understand at the time was the key there. You brought up the famous, and it's old now, the Roy Williams, Bonnie Bernstein interview. He had just lost a game. He probably knew that was his last chance to Kansas. He was going to go to North Carolina. That's a huge deal. Those are two major schools. But in this case, when you know what the plan is and everybody's in, you can't say it hasn't been working for them.
Will you root with me for Mississippi State over Baylor?
I did pick Baylor to win.
So no, you won't.
But
I have no support. Is anyone out there? Anyone? Text us.
Yeah,
something.
Call the SEC commissioner.
Hey, I got you, Marshall. A good friend of mine in high school went to Mississippi State for like a semester. I got a Mississippi State shirt. It's a workout shirt now. I would have worn it today.
I'm sure Greg Sankey will have your back. Because he needs his teams to represent in order to justify this.
Do you have any upsets to pick today, Layla?
Let me see.
Because I was looking at St. Mary's Vanderbilt. I'm not feeling great about Vanderbilt against St. Mary's. And Vanderbilt, that would be technically an upset, but it'd also be more fodder for your anti-SEC rant.
I'm very chalky. Vandy.
Very chalky.
I have Vandy
today?
Advancing, yeah.
Oh, so you got Vandy beating the number 7 seed.
And I've got Duke going to, yeah. Well, yeah, that is actually, yeah. I do have Vandy beating the number 7 seed.
David Lipscomb over maybe the 3 seed Iowa State? No? We're not
oh, no, I have Iowa State going relatively far.
What do you got? Who do you have between Oklahoma and UConn?
I have Iowa State going to the Sweet 16. Which one is this?
Oklahoma, UConn. Who you got?
Oh, I mean, I have UConn.
Okay, well, it was a good question.
Yeah,
I mean,
Porter Moser knows how to make some, you know, he knows how to make some noise.
And more importantly, who do you have the 6th seed versus the 11th seed in Milwaukee later on this evening?
I have the Illini beating Kentucky. And I know that's biased.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yep. I think they got rid of their clunker game when they played in the Big Ten tournament. I know it's a little crazy, that's what we're here for.
Speaking of 5-12s, I'm a little worried about Oregon against Liberty. I'm a little concerned about that matchup.
I actually was as well, but I think I still picked Oregon.
And then we got Marquette, the 7 seed against New Mexico, the 10 seed.
Michigan State beating Marquette in the second round.
Also, are you rooting for North Carolina today? That's my next question. Because I know your anti-SEC bias runs strong. So are you rooting for North Carolina against the University of Mississippi?
I mean, I think
that's a lose-lose.
Well, North Carolina, they're going to play a quality opponent. So I think they lose.
Oh, they do have one quad win. They could get a second. It's possible. Okay, maybe not.
I stared at you in silence. But there's no doubt that McNeese State so far is the story of the tournament. And I actually think it's incredibly modern for their coach to say, I'm going somewhere else. But these things happen. Brad Underwood, same conference. It wasn't in that same process as to how it went when he went to Oklahoma State. But players know. Players know that these things are going to happen.
Where else Brad Underwood was for a long time? The Western Illinois University.
I think we just did the whole resume, didn't we?
He was there for like 8 years. He was there for a long time as an assistant.
And just
Western
noticeable.
Women's team won their NIT game last night, by the way. We're playing Illinois State on Sunday.
I like
North
next.
Texas won its game against Furman in the NIT. I feel, yeah, we're good.
So team NIT over here.
You're up. Prove me wrong. Beat Baylor.
For the record, I'm going to jump on the Colorado State bandwagon with our guy Brad Evans and say they're going to beat Memphis.
Guys, okay. I have been going to the Sweet 16 because of Brad Evans. He influenced me.
All right. A reminder, Circa Sports Illinois and 670 The Score invite you to kick off the start of the March College Hoops with Matt Spiegel and Mark Grody today from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Enjoy every game, specials on buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Light, and more at Real Time Sports. It's all sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. Next up, We will visit the meatball machine because we got to talk about the Cubs. We solicited, we asked, what do you want to see in the next five games, a.k.a. the rest of spring training before the Cubs start the season against the Diamondbacks in Arizona? You responded. We will play your responses in kind. That's coming up next on Bernstein and Harris with Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacid. Almacid is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacid. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almacid.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.